maybe there is something to mankind destroying the planet. However, it's coming from an area that you wouldn't even imagine. In this episode, Terrence and John uncover the hidden agenda, redefine what climate change is really about, and produce evidence that the tech industry is a big culprit in destroying the planet.
Breaking curses, 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 breaking curses.
This is John Barnett.
And this is Terrence J.
Welcome to Generational Curse. Terrence, where we break the generational walls down one generation at a time. Or did I say that right? Break the curses one generation at a time.
Whatever, we breaking something, right?
We breaking curses.
It's got to get broken.
So we're going to deal with climate change. Is it real? Is it a hoax? Is it a little bit of both? We're going to dig into it. As usual, Terrence, we want people to listen to the end. There's some bombshell revelations coming. This is not conspiracy. This is factual belief that's out there. Now, they might be kooks, some of them, that believe this stuff or disbelieve it.
Right.
But we're going to try to break the walls down on this information. So, folks, we need you to listen to the end. We need you to rate the program on Spotify, Apple, and every other podcast platform that carries this podcast. And send us your requests, your information at johnbarnett@generationalcurse.net. Okay. Terrence J., let's get into this, man.
So what is climate change? Climate change refers to long-term shifts in temperatures and weather patterns. Such shifts can be natural due to changes in the sun's activity or large volcanic eruptions. But since the 1800s, human activities have been the main driver of climate change. What did they say was the main driver?
Human activities.
Primarily due to the burning of fossil fuels like coal, oil, and gas. So that is according to United Nations, UN.org, because of fossil fuels, human activities, burning oil, coal, and gas. Which is, I give them that definition. But that is according, again, to UN.org. But if you are a major listener or watcher of news, that's not the definition of climate change.
All right. So there's two definitions then.
Correct.
So you got the UN definition that basically says, at least our current, and I'm using this very methodically and intentionally, our current situation, climate change, is due to human interaction.
Yeah, human activity.
Human activity.
Right.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned, Terrence.
Right. Oh, no, I was finna get right into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go ahead. That, again, because of fossil fuels, the coal, oil, and gas. And like I was saying, like, I can see that just for the simple fact that, yeah, let's bring oil and gas. I mean, there are more, many cars on the road. As the people begin to populate, there will be more vehicles.
All right.
My son will be one of them very soon. He's 15 and he will get his permit and then he will begin to drive and he will get his own vehicle. So, you know, he will be a contributor to fossil fuel, to the climate
to the global, yeah, to the global climate change.
Just as myself. But, you know, I definitely understand EVs, but it's going to be the same thing because you need coal, oil, and gas to produce these EV vehicles. You just can't do it without them. But anyways, but one contributor that they're saying is population itself. There are too many people on this planet. Okay. I didn't read that here. Did you hear me read primarily due to, you know, since the 1800s, human activities have been the main driver of climate change? primarily due to burning of fossil fuels, coal, oil, and gas. But where does it say? As well as the amount of people on this planet.
So that's not in their definition.
It's not.
All right. Do you think it's hidden in the definition?
Yes.
Okay. Pay attention, folks. We're going to deep dive on this. And now, is there another written definition out there?
No, I'm sure it is. If you Google.
Okay. But that's usually the one that most people are working from. The UN is a trusted and reliable source of data.
Right, because I didn't want to just go straight to Google, you know what I mean? Because, you know, everybody. I could put definition on Google.
Okay, so here's, Terrence, I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying. And I'm going to do something different on Generational Curse Podcast. I'm going to come from a scientific evolution angle to approach this subject, because that's where this has come from anyway. Right. This really isn't a, it's not a religious view. Matter of fact, a lot of religions are, let's just say the mainstream Christian, Judeo, maybe Muslim, aren't really on board with the agenda for the climate change or the climate change reduction.
Right.
All right. So most of this is evolution-based science and scientists that are pushing the definition that you're talking about. Can we agree on that, folks? I think we, if you look up climate change, you won't see the Pope, you won't see a pastor, you'll probably see scientists or somebody like that. All right. Now, I think the Pope is.
Yeah,
he's on board.
Yeah, he's on board, yeah.
All right. So, Terrence, have you ever heard of the five mass extinctions?
No. I only heard about one.
Okay, and one coming. All right, so.
So what are the five?
The five mass extinctions. This is an definition. Mass extinctions. When at least half of all species die out in a relatively short time. And it says this has occurred only a handful of times over the course of our planet's history. The largest mass extinction event happened around 250 million years ago when perhaps 95% of all species went extinct. All right. So, Terrence, there's a belief out there, a very strong belief, that we have gone through five of these global climate cataclysms already. All right, so there's the Ordovician Silurian extinction. That was 440 million years ago. Devonian extinction, 365 million years ago. The Permian-Triassic extinction, 250 million years ago. The Triassic-Jurassic extinction, 210 million years ago. And the Cretaceous-Tertiary extinction, 65 million years ago. So you've seen it, folks, in movies, how the Earth, well, let me back up. Before I even say that, let me back up. So the prediction is, Terrence, there's a sixth one. And we're starting to, either starting to be in it or we're right in the middle of it, heading to the end.
Right.
So that the same thing is going to happen, that the Earth is going to go through this vast shift, and life as we know it is going to be destroyed. And that there is literally nothing we can do about it. You can't push it off. It's happened five times before, so they say.
Sounds like I watched this movie before.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, was there was a movie. What was it? Was it called 2012 or something? Remember when the whole prophecy of the Mayan calendar,
Yeah, I think it was, let me look at that. I think it was 22.
Yeah. And so that belief system, they say that the Earth polar caps are going to shift. And that because of that, there's going to be this grand cataclysm, which is what they were saying in that movie.
Right.
So whatever the case, there is a very strong belief that no matter what we do, we're going to go through this great cataclysm. Mm. Now, folks, just give us some room here to unpack what we're saying. Because if you believe this, or if you believe the definition that Terrence read from the United Nations or some other forum, I personally think that behind this is a hook. How to solve this, we're going to give you the answer on how to solve climate issues. We're going to actually give you that answer. But other people might give you an answer that will be devastating. And it's something that we want to unpack, folks, is climate change. So,
hey, I can't wait to get to mine because I'm busting heads wide open.
So, Terrence, do you personally believe that we're in this global climate change epidemic?
Now I do agree that, you know, fossil fuels do affect, you know, air pollution and all the other stuff, you know, what's going on. So for an example, I think it was China. Yeah. I think it was in China, because of coal, their air pollution was horrible. I mean, especially in the cities, cause they were using coal for everything. And, you know, and back in the 1800s as well in the U.S. But when it affected their way of life, they had to uproot and go outside of the city and into the far, far, far depths of the country. And, you know, the country they where they were away from life. So they couldn't even get the food that they needed. They were trying to start farms. When I find this documentary, I will give it to you guys. But anyways, when I was watching the documentary, they had to move outside and they're away from schools. They're away from just so many things that were important to them. Basically like it was a culture shock for a lot of people to move outside because of the coal and the air pollution was affecting them so much. It was just causing many health problems.
And were they forced to move out?
Yeah, a lot of them was forced to move out. Yeah.
Like the government came in and said, go? Environmental?
The environment. It was just a way of life. They wanted better air, better quality. You know what I mean? Better way to live. But since they basically set a time, like where you couldn't do it at peak hours or whatnot, then, you know what I mean, it made it a lot better. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, a lot of people were affected. I forgot where it is. I'm going to send that doc. I'm going to get that documentary. But anyways, I do agree to that point, right? However, there is a wool that is being thrown over our eyes.
Okay.
You got to understand a play on words when it comes to the government. I'll say that again. You got to understand the play on words when it comes to the government. You know, you being a minority in this country, right? Consider. So if they talk about the inner city, who are they talking about?
Blacks.
They're talking about blacks. When they refer to us as the inner city.
Or urban,
right? Those are play on words. Inner city, you would think, oh, that's downtown.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's like the mid part of the city. No. Inner city, they're referring to us. But you got to understand a play on words. Climate, you would think weather.
Right.
No. Not when it comes to the government. You know what climate really means? There's two words. Climate, a region with particular prevailing weather conditions. Mm-hmm. There's another climate. The prevailing trend of public opinion or of another aspect of public life.
Now, Terrence, this is usually my department. Conspiracy 101.
This is a straight fact that they use these words to play on what it is that they want. So now this is the definite, well, this is a sentence that they give when it comes to climate. And you can just Google climate definition and it pops up. But it says the current economic climate. There's going to be an economic change that is about to take place. That's the true climate change. That's what this is all about. This is all about economy. This has nothing to do with raindrops falling from the sky. In fact, do you know what started the Canadian wildfires up in Quebec?
I've been wondering about that because I've had to work in that a couple times.
Lightning.
Lightning.
It's natural. We've been, climate change has been here before, I mean, 1600s, 1500s, 1400s. I mean, we've been dealing with this because the weather patterns do show, and this was no fossil fuels burning back then. You have droughts. Back, matter of fact, God called it a what? A famine. Mm-hmm. There was a famine in the land. Elijah prayed for no rain. He wasn't burning fossil fuels. He prayed for no rain. It wasn't fossil fuels that did this. It wasn't because it's too many people was on the earth. We've always been seeing this throughout history. Open up your Bible, go back, look at it. We've all been going through this. It's nothing new. However, what's new is this economic crisis that we've been going through. This is the change that's getting ready to take place. The true climate change is dealing with the economy and the way that you govern the people. This is going to be...
The climate of the people is going to change.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
So, all right, now, how do you answer this? Let's see here. There's a scripture I wanted to read.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 11:18. All right? This is not a Bible study, folks. This is just something I thought. I'm being the devil's advocate here. 11:18, book of Revelation. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and they that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. What do you say on that?
That's a good text.
There is a prophecy that God is going to destroy people that destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm. What are they doing to the earth?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, like I said, the fossil fuels, you know, the oil, all that other stuff, they dump it in the oceans. Now, where I get the EV thing, you know, electric vehicles sound cool. But when those batteries expire, when they die, what is it, your battery, you know, that you can put inside the mouse, right, of your laptop?
Mm-hmm.
It has a symbol on it. What does it say? Don't throw it in the garbage.
Right.
It got to be recycled. Why? Because of the chemical makeup that's in there.
Yeah.
You just can't dump that in the ground. So they got to be recycled. So all those recycled batteries, what do they do with them? They do the same thing.
They're destroying the earth.
They're destroying the earth.
And these CFL lights, is that what they call it? CFL? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think those are supposed to be thrown in the trash.
Mm-mm.
I think you're supposed to recycle them.
You're right.
We're starting to see a pattern here. So what you're saying, Terrence, is you're agreeing with the evolutionary format of these mass extinctions. Because if we believe, we don't. But if you believe in the age of the earth at 4 billion years or whatever, and that these things happened, then you believe also that man didn't come into existence until recently.
Right.
Right? Which means, and dinosaurs weren't driving cars.
No.
So I'm not making light of this, folks, because we're going to go somewhere with this. But what you're saying is, Terrence, is that there is a bait and switch taking place.
That's all it is.
Which there are people in positions of authority that are playing a different game than we are.
Oh, man, one thing I learned in 2008 is when somebody mentions change, Barack Obama, hello?
Right.
You ain't getting the change you want.
Exactly.
Because what change? No.
It was hope and change.
Right.
The hope still there.
Yeah, hope is still. Yeah.
The change didn't come.
That ain't what the change we asked for.
So, Terrence, I'm concerned about this because it's really being said publicly that Gen Z and millennials are going to have to do something about the climate. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And if you read studies and surveys and all this stuff, especially Gen Zs, but millennials as well, they're worried about their future because of the environmental things that they're seeing or that they're hearing. Now, I'm going to say, folks, on record, I believe in both definitions because I know for a fact that I used to get snow as a child consistently in Indiana. I'm saying we used to get snow starting in October.
Oh, yeah.
Now we only get one or two snows a year, which is a big, that's usually one of the indicators and the global wet bulb temperature and all this stuff. And this, the overall temperature's raising and the snow caps are melting and the ice, you know.
Praise the Lord, I love it.
So, however, I must state that the one thing that is a good motivator, Terrence, is fear. It's one of the best emotions if you want to motivate anybody. Just look at this thing that we went through with the pandemic. You had people that were friendly neighbors one day.
Yeah.
A week or two later, they was enemies. You don't have your mask on. Did you get the shot? Did you, you know, you're not being culturally aware to me, or not culturally, but health aware to me. You're not considering my health.
Right.
You didn't get the jab. Fear, man.
The climate is changing.
And then, Terrence, here's the other thing, though. Here's the shift, man. The ideas that are advocated for climate change are causing climate problems.
Right.
And this is what Gen Zs and millennials don't see. They don't see it. All right, I'm going to go through some facts here, because if indeed these two generations are going to, quote unquote, save the planet, then you have to stop doing what you're doing, too.
Right.
And I don't think you're going to be able to do that, because if the real agenda is air quote climate versus UN climate, we're all in this big sack. You remember back in the day, this is for folks who didn't have money, like me and Terrence. You make popcorn, and you put it in a sack. You put your salt in it, and you shake it up. That's how we did it, folks. Or you put your popcorn on the pan on the stove. You put that oil in it, and you shake that pan until that stuff starts popping, and then you put your salt on it. That's what we're dealing with right here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we as millennials, we're blind. I mean, of course, especially what's in front of us, social media and
I wouldn't say you're blind.
Well, I was going to say, because what we put in front of us, you know what I mean? We're
or what's being put in front of you.
Yeah, that too. And what we choose our entertainment to be.
Yes.
So here it is, the devastating effects of pollution in China. And this is Vice. So you can look that up on YouTube. And that was a documentary I was talking about. But a lot of people aren't watching these type of documentaries because what they're putting in front of them, what they choose to put, like you said, or what's being put in front of us.
Right.
And you can't decipher between what's real and what's fake anymore. So that's why I'm looking at the overall climate change as it being like there's going to be a shift in our economy, but this is being pushed, the weather, global warming.
It's the smoke screen.
Yeah, like you're going to start hearing talks about El Nino, right? Well, you're already hearing. I'm already hearing talks about El Nino. So El Nino basically is like a natural climate phenomenon characterized by the presence warmer than normal sea surface temperature. So for an example, they say El Nino is caused because of the sea of the ocean's temperature rising. And that's going to affect us moving forward from this late summer of 2023. Basically, we'll have Indian summer is what we call it here. And so we'll have a hotter fall, a warmer warmer winter, and then going into that spring and summer, it's going to be extremely hot, like what we seen in 2016, like what we seen in 1998, like what we seen in 1970 something, like what we seen in 1960. You get my point?
Yeah.
It's always going to keep happening because it's just natural. There is no perfect climate because we're not in a perfect world.
Agreed. We'll get stabbed for that, Terrence. But based on what we just read here, I mean, there's these. I mean, again, I'm coming from the evolutionary scientific community's mindset that there were five of these things that happened already, and that we're in the sixth one coming up. Now, there is pushback against that, but there are cycles that have happened. And if this is just another cycle, there's actually nothing we can do about it. Mm. All right? Now, I believe you and I have a Christian biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. We've got some, I believe there is a mass extinction coming that has zero to do with the environment.
Play that clip, man, when you get a chance.
Okay, I'm going to get to that in a second. I want to read.
That's crazy.
I want to read what is also pushing the quote unquote UN environmental climate issues. All right. Just, folks, hold on. Hold on to your seats because we're about to take off. Okay, Terrence. Bitcoin. Mm. Okay, Bitcoin mining.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Yeah. 64.4 megatons of CO2 emissions per year. This study was done in 2021. That's more than the nation of Greece. The Bitcoin mining, because if you combine all the electricity that it uses and what it takes to make electricity and all that stuff, it's producing all these carbon gases that are going to the air. Now, what I found was funny, man, in the United States, the state that's producing based on Bitcoin anyway, Bitcoin mining, that's producing the most carbon emissions is Kentucky. Mm. That's the last place you would think.
Right.
Kentucky. They became Bitcoin mining friendly a few years back, and so a lot of people migrated there.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep rolling.
In the Appalachians.
Yeah. AI. Artificial intelligence. In 2019, University of Massachusetts Amherst researchers trained several large language models and found that training a single AI model could emit over 626,000 pounds of CO2, equivalent to the emission of five cars over their lifetime. Okay, folks. The tech world, and this is part of the smokescreen.
Yeah.
Terrence, if we tie in, what is tech world doing now? They're laying off a bunch of people, right? They're moving to AI and all these other automated types of things. They don't need people now. I know what people are thinking. We're just moving to a different way of doing things.
Is it?
The new climate change.
It's shifting, yeah.
You're seeing it. It's right in front of our face, but we don't understand what's going on. Cell phone use, Terrence.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Folks, I'm trying to tell you, we've been duped. So this, matter of fact, that last article came from Columbia College article. AI is growing carbon footprint. This one is from 8billiontrees.com. Carbon offsets credits. All right. So cell phone use and the carbon footprint. All right, so the combined cell phone use in this article that was 2021 is a bullet train carrying 2 billion passengers. That's how much it's contributing to the carbon footprint.
Mm.
Or the energy required to produce over 242 million pairs of denim jeans.
Mm.
Energy required to cook over 1.3 billion barbecue meals in the United Kingdom.
That's funny.
This is cell phone use, folks. This is all the stuff that is on a daily use that we're told can help. It, as a matter of fact, if you look up these tech, if you look up Silicon Valley mm-hmm. and the carbon footprint, you'll see glowing articles about how they're at net zero emissions and all this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Baloney.
They lying.
Well, they, like the area.
Correct. That's what they talking about.
The factory.
Told you.
But they're producing things
mm-hmm.
that are not.
Right.
All right? Ride share.
Is that like
Uber?
Uber, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Lyft.
Yeah, all of them.
It says here, this is a Reuters article. It's called ride hailing. Ride hailing also emits nearly 70% more carbon dioxide than trips that passengers would have otherwise taken by bus, train, bike, or walking. So rideshare is contributing greatly.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like some people Uber 15 minutes away.
Yeah, 2 minutes away, man.
Yeah. Oh, so, you used to do that, huh?
So, Terrence, okay. Let me ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
How willing are millennials and Gen Z and Gen X, for that matter?
Say it again.
How willing is Gen X, Gen Z, millennials willing to give up technology?
Man, we fighting.
We ain't going to do it.
Fight for your rights.
We're not going to do it.
Mm-mm.
The question I must ask then is this intentional?
Based on
what you're saying about the air quote climate definition, where the climate of the economy.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a Trojan horse
mm-hmm.
that is being utilized to push the economic agenda?
Most definitely. I mean, how else are you going to get the people on board? I mean, as we're talking, a lot of people don't know about FedNow.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and that was just released when?
What, a couple days ago?
Yeah. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. Last Wednesday, last Thursday, it was released. So because of the lack of knowledge.
And can you explain FedNow for our listeners around that aren't in the U.S.?
So basically what FedNow is the Federal Reserve, right? They've made it to where we can send money faster.
A digital platform.
Correct.
Like Cash App
or yep, Zelle. Yeah, but it's supposedly, it's a lot better than that because now it's just not between people. It's between bills and everything. So if you want to pay your rent, you'll write a money order or a check or whatever it is like that, however they receive the payment or take the payment. When you do it electronically, your bank basically says, okay, it's going to take a couple of days to process. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to pay it out, but then we got to wait for all this other stuff. Well, FedNow, they basically make it a lot faster. That sounds good, but the transactions, you're not missing that. The fact that these transactions are actually now going through the Federal Reserve. They're looking at the bank saying, okay, John Barnett just paid his rent.
So, i.e., the federal government.
Right. They're looking at now the transactions that we make on a day-to-day basis.
So they can literally see everything that every American will be doing
mm-hmm.
once this whole thing goes fully online, mm-hmm. once all the banks sign up. And from what I saw, it was like 5 major banks, which everybody else is gone.
Chase already. And, yeah.
They're going to fall in line.
Right. And So, and also look at the banking systems. We saw a lot of small banks fail. The climate is being shifted. It's changing into now we're going to have a universal bank.
Are you listening, people?
It's going to shift into a universal bank. Oh, that sounds good, because if I'm in Spain, then, you know, hey, I can spend my money. I ain't got to worry about it. No.
That's right.
They just know what you're purchasing in Spain.
That sounds like that they may not buy or sell.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Social credits will be implemented now because we are shifting. We're changing climates. Climate change.
So
it's the Trojan horse.
What do you say then, Terrence, about what do you tell people? And like I said, we're going to tell you how to fix this thing, folks. But, okay, so there are animal life forms that are going extinct.
Mm-hmm.
There are plant life forms that are going extinct.
Mm-hmm.
Bee population.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think it might be on the rise a little bit. I know the U.S. government was instituted a program to, if anybody wanted to be beekeepers. I have considered that, actually.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I just don't like getting stung, man.
Oh, yeah.
They say you will get stung if you keep bees.
Right.
But without bees, bye-bye world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's... So what do you say to people who are looking at that, or the fish population in certain areas where there used to be abundance of salmon and other sea creatures, the coral reefs, a lot of those are dying off. What do you say to that, Terrence?
I mean, the land is overworked. I mean, that's the point of following biblical principles that God has set. For an example, he said, after your seventh year, let the land rest. Why? So let the bees go in and do their thing. If you're not letting the land rest, if every year, what, for 20, 30 years straight, you letting the bees have no pollen in that area.
So they need to replenish.
They need to replenish, especially that pollinated area. You're killing all that pollen. When they go in there to pollinate, they're like, what is this? There's nothing here. So where do they go? They go where there is pollen. They will even go in your attic and set up shop if they find a source of pollen that's around in your trees or in your yard or some type of flower that they want.
Mm-hmm.
They will set up shop anywhere because they're looking for food. They're looking for that pollen. But so the principles of letting the land rest. So if you're not letting the ocean rest, if you just keep drilling for oil and, you know, in the oceans and all this other stuff, like, it's just a mindset of man. I understand we are having an effect on the climate. Mm-hmm. But it's not that big of an effect to where you want to depopulate the world. I'm talking about mankind.
Mm.
It's not to that big of an effect to where you're pushing and passing bills just so you can meet a certain agenda that is underlying.
Okay, having said that, let me read something.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where I think the solution is being placed on the UN definition of climate problems.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We are now really close, if not already there. And I really don't know how folks calculate the amount of people that's in the world. I really don't know. I don't know, but I'm going by what they say. So they say we're now at 8 billion.
Mm.
8 billion people. All right? And that the earth does not have enough land available for the animals and the plants, wild animals, wild plants, to continue to sustain human population growth like this.
Well, build more. I mean, look at what Japan did. How they built their airport. I don't know if it was in Tokyo. Maybe it's in Tokyo.
Is that the one in the ocean?
Yeah, it's dope.
It's sinking too.
Put the animals there. Yeah. Put the animals there. I'm just, or put your food there. I'm just saying, like, They're going to put more sand on it.
That's the problem.
They're going to put more sand on it. You know what I mean? They're
gonna, they have to adjust. If that's the same one I'm thinking of, they adjust it every day because the foundation is constantly moving. And
right.
I want to know what's going to happen when it sinks 10 feet. That's
going to be nice. That's going to be nice.
Does it become a submarine station now? Or?
But we still can do that. I'm just saying because there are other parts of the ocean that, you know what I mean, there's not a lot of depth. So you could still do what they did, but let's be wise. Let's grow our food there. Let's, you know what I mean? Like, put the bees there. Like,
they do that in Dubai, actually. Yeah. Have you seen those islands?
Yeah, I've seen it.
There's one that looks like the United States that they built with sand and all this other stuff.
Come on, man. You got all that money.
And nobody moved there. That's
what it's for. It's for to replenish and to, you know what I mean?
China got cities that are not populated that they built. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Yeah, pull it up. They've got empty cities that they built, man, and they've been there for a while. It's not like they just finished them last year.
Oh, it looked like they did like a replica of Europe or something like that. Them type of empty cities.
I don't know. Okay, but they do have. I mean, buildings, man. It's like maybe 100 people living there, but the city can hold actually 15,000 or something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
So. This idea is being pushed that there's too many people. See, this is where I pump the brakes. This is where I pump the brakes right here. I get it. At some point, we're going to reach critical mass.
Right.
All right. You would have to find a way to fly off this planet and populate another. All right. But that's like so far down the road because the idea that there's not enough land, for the folks that don't live in the United States, I'm only speaking in U.S. terms. So you apply what I'm saying and think about your country because it might be different there. United States, we've got so much open land that it's not funny.
Oh, yeah.
State of Texas, most of the population is on the east third. Mm-hmm. The rest of Texas is just open land, grazing land. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest state in the 48 continental states. Nevada, what city do you know in Nevada, Terrence? Can you name more than two?
Reno, right.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
Yeah. Reno.
Reno. So, Tahoe's up there.
Yeah,
but it's not a whole lot of people. And Carson City, I think, is the maybe I'm thinking about a Western. But most of that state, I know it's desert, is open. Most of the people live in those four cities that we just named, man.
This is crazy.
So the idea, and I'm just thinking about geographic landmass. Look at Russia. I think that's the largest nation on Earth.
Yeah, it's huge. I looked at that. Yeah, I was looking at the map the other day.
And Canada. Most of the people in Canada live on the southern border near the United States or the southwest and southeast is still near the U.S. So as you go north, there's nothing up there, man.
Right.
What are they saying? I mean, what is being put before us to make us believe that there's no room?
Yeah.
For people.
Because they know we're not going to read and have the logic. We're going to, yeah, I mean, we are sheep.
And that is true. So this article came out July 7, 2022. This was last year. Scientists appeal for global population control. Scientists.
They found, what is it?
They appeal for global population control. Mm-hmm. Here's what their strategies are. This is News Medical Life Sciences, that's the name of this magazine. strategies to control the world's population. One child policy. That's what China did. They're coming to find out that was a disaster. Was it China? Yeah, China. It's an economic disaster. Talking about the economic climate, all right? Women empowerment. Now, listen, folks. I'm not saying I agree with what's in this article. I'm just saying this is the mindset out here. I don't agree or disagree is what I'm saying. So they're saying studies have shown that nations with higher gender inequalities exhibit mm-hmm. higher fertility rates. Did you hear that, Terrence? Thus, enhancing gender equality by providing better job opportunities, education, and legal rights for women could aid in population control.
Mm. That's like I said, what? Yeah, yeah,
Terrence, are you hearing this?
Oh, yeah, man, this is.
Here we go,
what
Terrence.
What more evidence do you need? I mean,
global wealth redistributions. Now, question, Terrence. These are scientists. Mm-hmm. Why are they talking about the economy?
Thank you.
Is there a prophet sitting across from me? Mm-hmm. Said the scientists of the current study also support introducing the redistribution of global wealth tax mm-hmm. economy to address issues related to poverty alleviation and conditions of impoverishment. Terrence, I've been in this world for 53 years. Next month is my birthday. Mm-hmm. I have never seen when we send aid to another nation that they somehow come out of their poverty.
Right.
Never. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it, man. Now, we've done podcasts and we're going to have one on the economy and all that stuff and the guys you working with the financial world, we're going to talk about this. So I ain't going to get into that now of how to turn stuff around economically, but they're not staying in their lane, man. So, and it sounds good. It says there's a need for proper funding for some communities across the world to maintain appropriate sanitation, clean water, electrification through renewables, and food supplies. Agreed. But we both know what's going to happen to the money that goes to these nations. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to the big banks and whatever person's in power at the time.
Right.
And the little folks will never see a dime of this cash.
Nope. That's why they're no consistent running water in some parts of Africa. I mean, the money was there. The funding was there.
Right.
What happened?
One more here. This guy, he's been debunked, but I'm going to read this and then I'm going to play these clips. Mm-hmm. Because his mindset is stronger than most people think, and we're going to play these clips to let you understand what we're saying. So this guy's name is Paul Ehrlich, and he wrote a book called Population Bomb, mm-hmm. The Population Bomb. So here's what he said. I think he wrote this like in the 70s or something. We must have population control at home. Hopefully through a system of incentives and penalties, but by compulsion if voluntary methods fail. We must use our political power to push other countries into programs which combine agricultural development and population control.
Why do you want population control?
That's a really good question.
Because of the dollar.
There you go.
The value of money, it decreases because you have to continue to print to keep up with what? Population.
That's right. You got to provide more. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the law of supply and demand.
Right.
And we can make more money by having serfs serve us. So we'll be richer, mm-hmm. those sitting at the top, mm-hmm. if we just make everybody like slaves. Mm. Basically. That's what I'm taking out of. So, you know, again, this guy predicted world famines and all this type of stuff. Didn't happen. But I'm looking at the mindset that he had. He's actually on an interview with 60 Minutes, if anybody wants to go look it up. It's actually pretty interesting. But what we're saying, folks, especially millennials and Gen Z, there is a shell game being played that you need to be aware of. We're concerned about your welfare. This is why we're bringing this out. We don't see this as a liberal or conservative issue because they're all on board in one way or another. In one way or another. So, a couple of clips here, Terrence J. I think we might have played this before. This is Bill Gates. I believe at a TED Talk. Let's listen to what he says. Bill Gates.
Let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero.
So listen to him. He said, and these numbers, he's got CO2 equals P times S times E times C. These are acronyms, all right? And he just said, get down to zero.
Now, that's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Hold up.
That wasn't me saying hold up, this other guy. All right, so Bill, he said zero, and his first step, it sounds like, through vaccines and other things, we can decrease the population by 10 to 15%. That's what he said. We're not making this up, Terrence.
Hey, 10 to 15% is a lot, especially, you know, with, what did he say, six billion?
He said 6 point at the time, 6.8. They're now saying we're around 8 billion. So 10% of 8 billion is what, 800 million?
Yeah.
Did I get that math right?
That's a lot of people.
That's a whole lot of people. All right. So, folks, Bill is known for tech, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tech is part of the CO2 emissions problem from what the stuff we read.
Right.
Okay. All right. This is Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States. Let's see what she says.
Greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030 and to reach net zero emissions by 2050. The investment we are announcing today will help us to achieve these goals, and it will do so much more. Because think also about the impact on not only the local economy,
mm-hmm.
not only on an investment in the entrepreneurs and
she's talking about money
from and in the community, think about the impact on something like public health. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
We're clapping. You heard her, folks.
I had to listen to it the second time because I didn't.
Yeah. It just.
Whoosh. Yeah. And they clap agreeing to reduce population.
Exactly.
And she hit them with the mothers with what? With their own emotion. And that's their children.
So the sign behind her is saying, because you can't see this, folks, investing in America. So she's dealing with money, at least in this part of her speech.
Mm.
And one of the ways to invest in America is to reduce the population. Folks, we're not making this up. I'm not trying to overhype this. We could be wrong. You could call us on the carpet. You can say, hey, John, hey, Terrence. That's not really what they were talking about. Okay, tell us what they were talking about then.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to say it because it's hitting what you're saying. We're not over it. We're not. And I just found this article. I just found it. And this is from the FraserInstitute.org, all right? Matthew Lay, he's an author, and he wrote this article. And it is entitled, Beware of Exaggerated Claims of Climate Harm.
Hmm.
He says, exaggerated claims about the harms of global warming are the stock in trade, not only of the Trudeau government, but publicly funded climate institutes in Canada, but many others in various quarters. In a recent Econ Journal Watch article written by David Baker, a former University of Chicago professor and a former Federal Reserve Bank of New York economist, he said this, at least a few economists at the Federal Reserve seem bent on showing that climate change will hurt economic growth. But their research, or at least some of it, is flawed.
Mm.
Baker's article rebukes a paper by economist Michael T. Kiley, published by the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve in 2021, which claims the effects of temperature on downside risk to economic growth are large and robust. Kiley's paper was widely cited, but as Baker writes, Kiley's primary result that the effect of temperature is larger when growth is low than when it is high is actually statistically insignificant. Mm. So in other words, these are false claims.
It's opposite of what they're saying.
It's opposite of what they're saying.
Or at minimum, exaggerated to the point where we can push some other bait and switch type situation, which is this is what we're talking about.
Why does the Federal Reserve need to speak on the things of the climate? They're not scientists.
Exactly. Just like these scientists are speaking on the economy.
Right.
They're not economists.
Come on, man. Like he went to school. He went to basically University of Chicago dealing with finances. He's working for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Like, come on now. But now he's a scientist.
That's what we say. Hey, by the way, we don't claim to be scientists.
No.
But we can read what they say.
Articles are right here. And this was actually appeared May 24th, 2023. That's when this article came up. So
2 months ago.
Yeah.
So, Terrence, here's why I want to shift in. Because I and you both believe in environmental stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want chemicals dumped in the lake. I don't want power lines, transmission lines in my backyard. Mm-hmm. I don't want a cell phone tower in my backyard. Then again, how much they pay?
Right.
So, but anyway, I'm just kidding, folks. We want, both you and I have gardens.
Mm-hmm.
You have a way to catch water.
Right.
And you should see it, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not coming from some earth-destroying mindset. But if it looks like a duck, Terrence, quacks, flaps, you know what I'm saying?
It's a goose.
So, so folks, we're just saying we're bringing this awareness to you. And our younger generation, because of the access that they have to you, through social media, you're getting bombarded with images of fish on the shore, and believe me, I used to see it. I used to hate it. They showed a man with a bat with spikes in it killing a baby seal.
Mm.
That's devastating to a child, man. Mm-hmm. Just remember the big picture, though. Mm-hmm. The best resource on this planet is people.
Right.
So, here's how we fix this.
Mm-hmm.
This is my opinion. This is my opinion, Terrence. If you're really concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about carbon emissions, passing laws only is not going to fix it. And forcing people to do whatever the will of these guys are doing, that's not going to fix it. You have to fix the people and fix the mindset.
Mm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. You can't control evil. Evil can't be controlled.
Right.
So what's the Bible say? Overcome evil with good. Mm. That's the only way that you can switch anything on this mass scale is people's hearts have to be changed. They have to see it. And let me tell you something, folks. We can't keep telling people, children, or at least insinuating that they're no more important than the polar bear. They are. Mm-hmm. Mankind has abilities that animals don't. We can do a lot of good in the world, but you're not going to do it by putting the proverbial gun to people's heads and forcing them, because at some point they're going to rebel against that. But if you appeal to the common sense and start looking at the joke that's being put on us, and also realize our own personal responsibility, like you said, the EV, mm-hmm. we're building all these solar farms, right?
Right.
Solar farms are made of materials that need petroleum. Mm-hmm. Hello? The fix is also the problem.
Yeah, right. That's what I was, yeah.
we just read a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Cell phone use, AI, ride sharing. I'm sure I can pull up 10 more things of the stuff that we do on a day-to-day basis that we're willing to die for. That's actually causing some of the environmental issues. So, Terrence, to break this curse, we've got to fix the heart of man. Oh, folks, we've covered this in a prior podcast, but that's a spiritual thing. It's not an intellectual. It's not emotional. It's a spiritual change. That's the only way that you're going to be able to stop this and turn it around. What say you, Terrence J?
Man, I know you brought up something, and this wasn't even dealing with climate change. This is probably like months ago. You and I were talking, and you said they got this thing called the Forever Chemical.
Right.
And that's something you explaining, like, it's in what? Like, weed killer or?
Plastics.
Plastics, yeah. It's a forever chemical that will never go away. If it leaks in the ground, it's in the ground, right?
It's in the ground. It's in the water.
It's in the water.
It's in your food.
Yeah, it can never go away. Now, the eyes are the windows of the soul. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a scripture that says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast a beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye."
The log out of your own eye.
Got a log in your eye. Got a big old wooden log in your eye. And you're pointing, casting judgment at someone with just a speck of dust in the eye. I think that's the overall climate that we have in this world today. Is that we're always passing judgment, but we never look at our own soul. I like Michael Jackson's song. I'm talking to the man
in the mirror.
I'm asking him to change his ways. No message can be any clearer. If you want to make a what?
Want to make a change.
Take a look at yourself. That's what it's about. You see, we, Generational Curse Podcast, we examine ourselves. I examine myself. John examines himself. And then he'll say, "Man, Terrence, I didn't know I had this problem." I say, "Man, John, I didn't know I had this problem." This is why we are really good colleagues. This is why we work together. I'm not blaming John. He's not blaming me. But the world today, that's what this is, climate. We're blaming people in the world. You know, my coworker said he lives up in Midland, Michigan, right? And he has, you know, nice piece of property out in the country. He was mowing his grass and, you know, a kid with loud music flying by his house through McDonald's. Boom. It landed in his property while he was cutting his grass. My coworker said, "Man, I took that bag of McDonald's, jumped in my truck, I chased him down." He said, "I chased him down for miles till we ended up in the town, small town." He's like, it probably was like 30, 40 minutes away from him. But he said, "I chased him down." And then when I caught him at a light, his window was down. I took that bag of McDonald's and I threw it in his car. "Don't you ever litter in my yard again." I said, "Man, you crazy." But the point is that that's a problem when we destroy the earth. He didn't feel violated because it was his yard. He felt violated because he's out in the country. Mm-hmm. That's not what he sees.
Right.
I'm more on my lawn. Same thing. McDonald's, beer cans, all in my yard. I'm on a major road. You know what I mean? 40. And all the time, every day. But these are the same people that point the finger and say, you need to fix the climate.
Right.
Take a look at yourself. Do something within. I agree. We as Americans, but also us who live on this earth, wherever you are, Dubai, wherever our listeners are. It's time to hold yourself accountable and make some changes. If you got to catch an Uber and you're 10 minutes away, walk.
Right. It's not hard.
Come on, man. But I'm going to leapfrog here because that's not the main issue. That's probably like 10%. The main issue of what is what the big guys want. They really right. want to change the economic course of our history. For what? For control. Population control is not just killing off population. Population control is also dealing with controlling the masses.
That's right. Population control.
That's right. You want to control the masses. And yep. that's exactly what's it's happening right now with FedNow, with so many other things that they're implementing. But we sit by and let it happen because we don't have the brain power to function enough to sit down and think common. Like, this is like a no-brainer. This is a shell game. This is the Trojan horse. Get off your phones, start reading these articles, and see what it is that they're saying and what they're trying to do. They said that they did not want a CBDC. This is what the Federal Reserve said.
Mm-hmm.
You go on their website, and they say that they want a CBDC.
Exactly.
What is it? Basically, their own digital dollar.
Yeah.
That's what they said they wanted on their website. But publicly, they say they don't want it. You got to go and read these things.
Exactly.
And you are being the problem because, again, you're pointing the finger at something, but you're not pointing at yourself because you're not doing the research. You guys can get mad at John and I all you want to because, oh, you guys are comparison. You know what I mean? I don't care. But you're not reading.
Right.
You're not reading. We give you the websites. We give you the resources. Go on their websites and look it up. It's so frustrating, man, because you have the power to take your own destiny in your own hands, but you don't do it. Mm-hmm. The information is out there. We're on information highway right now. Just read it.
Yep. Read and act.
Right.
Read and act on it. Not crazy, not going to burn stuff down and go to the animal care facility and let all the dogs out. And I understand. But even like something like that,
mm-hmm.
it's within our power.
Correct. And this is not just, you know, heightened information or just something that we just blowing smoke. No, this stuff is real. Like,
yeah.
Look it up.
This is for life. And this is for livelihood, folks. Mm-hmm. We got to come out of our bubble. So, Terrence, we've laid out some info here. A new wrinkle has been thrown into the mind, the ethos of man right now from mm-hmm. a generational curse perspective. Folks, hit us up. Let us know what you think. Do you agree or disagree? Like or share. Like and share this podcast. If you got something to say, hit me up at johnbarnett@generationalcurse.net.
And you can get me at terrencej@generationalcurse.net.
We're going to sign off, folks. We'll talk to you later.
And it's apparent y'all left something in the water. Can't pretend that I'm not bothered by the sins of my father's breaking. Curses, breaking.